Hear these words as they come from Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of the uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord, nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from the heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appearing in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, and as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift He gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive those words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. So, several years ago, I joined a golf club. And so I had to sign all these papers. And what it was the rules of the golf course. And as I read them, I had to initial off and sign saying that I would follow those rules. Rules like I would wear certain types of shoes when I was on the golf course. Thought tennis shoes were fine. I would operate the golf cart in a respectful and safe manner. That was the hard one. Because even though I was doing what I was supposed to, there was a particular hole on this golf course that you couldn't see down at the bottom. So when you got down at the bottom, you just prayed that the people on the other, up on the top side at the tee box, wasn't hitting a golf ball about that time. And I remember standing there on the green, and we're putting, and there's four or five preachers standing there. That's a story in itself. And all of a sudden, one of them goes, "Oh my gosh, look at the raid." And we looked up, and there were about 12 senior citizen golf carts flying over the hill right at us. We thought we were dead. One of the other rules was that I would obey all general golf rules. And that was good and fine. And then, when I was 9 years old, I was saved, baptized, and joined the church. And in that, I had to agree to other rules and regulations that said that I would act a certain way and I would do a certain thing as a member of that denomination's congregation. And then Angie and I, when we joined the Methodist Church, just like y'all, when you join the Methodist Church, you take vows and you say that you will support the church with your presence, your prayers, your gifts, and your service. So all of these rules and regulations and things we have in our lives, right? Right? Okay, I'm hoping y'all hadn't already fallen asleep. I hadn't gotten to the boring part yet. So today's scripture talks about rules and regulations. So Peter had been called before the SPRC because he had done something that had gone against the church law. And that was he had gone to those heathen Gentiles. You see, church law and their overall rules and laws was that you were not allowed to have any association with Gentiles. Because you see, y'all know what an earthworm is? You know where an earthworm lives? Gentiles were about two steps below that. They were useless, worthless. Nobody understood why God created them. That's how useless and worthless they were. And so you were not allowed to have any association with them as a Jew or as a new Christian. And lo and behold, Peter decided to go not only associate with them, but he ate with them. Oh my gosh, you ate their food? What were you thinking? You're unclean. You stay over there and stay away from us. So Peter goes into explaining a vision that he had had. And as I was reading this, I thought about the Methodist Church. Peter says that he has a vision, and a large sheep comes down from heaven, and on it is food. And you know how Methodists and food are. If there's food, we're going to be there. But Peter had said that there were all these different kinds of animals. There were four-footed animals, and there were wild beasts, and there were birds, and there were fish, and there were the unclean food, and all of a sudden this voice comes and says, Simon Peter, kill and eat. And he said, but you know, I was doing the right thing because I said, oh Lord, nothing unclean has ever touched these lips. And the voice came back and said, who told you you could decide what was clean and unclean? If I created it, I decide what's clean and unclean. And so Peter goes on to explain what had happened. He comes out, the sheets lifted up, and these guys come to him and take him to Caesarea. And he's able to share the salvation of Christ with those heathen Gentiles. So that was the problem that Peter had. He was dealing with church law, church rules, church regulations. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't go out and start telling people that I said that rules and regulations are bad. Because, you know, sometimes rules and regulations, they're good for us. They keep us safe. They try to make sure that we stay on the right side of the road. We don't go running stop signs. So sometimes those rules and regulations are good for us. Unfortunately, sometimes rules and regulations are detrimental. And that's what the case was here. The rules and regulations of the church had gotten in the way of God. So those rules kind of pushed God out of the way and said, okay, so this is the way it's got to be. In order for someone to become a Christian, they have to be circumcised. They have to eat clean food. They have to obey these rules and regulations. They have to take their vows. And they have to be perfect. Then we'll let them into the Christian community. Here's the problem with that. God said, oh, no, you didn't. No, you did not start excluding those that I've created from a relationship with me. Angie and I were talking this week, and she said that Sunday school classes she's teaching made a comment. So, we look at it like this. In order to fit in here, I'm just using here as an example. In order to fit in here, you have to be a certain way. So, in other words, you have to change before we'll allow God to change you. God's saying, I change from the inside and it goes outward. One of the hardest, heartbreaking things that I've ever experienced in this role was hearing a congregation member, and I'm not saying from here, hearing a congregation member see someone come into a worship service to praise and worship God and maybe have a relationship and them say, they don't belong here. Who said that person does not belong here? Who says that they have to be a certain particular way in order for them to have a relationship with God? Did Jesus come for just the Jews? That's not a hypothetical question. Did God come for, or did Jesus come for the rich and famous? Did He come for the Pharisees? Did He come for the Sadducees? Definitely no. Who did Jesus come and die on a cross for? Everybody. What Peter was trying to get the new Christian, the new church to understand was, don't limit God on who God affects. And too many times throughout history, the church and religion has taken over and tried to rule and dictate to God who God is able and allowed to save. We have decided as a religion to determine the membership rules of Christianity. We have made up the rules as to who the good news is shared with. Oh my gosh! Did you hear that group is over there associating with those people? They don't even drive vehicles within the last 5 years.
They buy their clothes at Walmart. They don't make enough money. There's no way they can tithe what they're supposed to tithe. Here we are as a religion. And I'm saying religion because Christianity is a religion. Here we are as a religion, as a denomination, as a local church, making the rules and regulations that determine who gets to be in the family of God. And God's saying, I don't think so, Scooter. I'm the one that makes the rules. I determine who my word goes to. I determine where my missionaries are sent. I determine because I created. Don't tell me who I'm allowed to affect. And then for me, so God has this way of letting me know how bad I've screwed up. How about y'all? Anybody else? When I get that attitude of being a Pharisee, God kind of lets me know this. Hey, Dan. That's what he called me. Hey, Dan. Aren't you glad I didn't place those rules and regulations on you when I sent Jesus to save your life? Aren't you glad I didn't listen to the church when I saw you sinking? Aren't you glad that Jesus included you when He took away everybody's sin? How dare you? Try to dictate my love. You see, God changes from the inside out, opposed to how we change others from the outside in. See, I think everybody ought to have a mustache like this in order to be a member of this church. You women be in trouble, huh? The point that Peter was making to the church then, and the point that Peter is making to the church today, it is not our job, it is not our place to dictate who has a relationship with Christ. It's not our place to set the rules and regulations as to who comes to in the presence of God. It's not our place to determine someone's salvation. Because if you really get down to it, how many of us would be where we are today if God allowed the church to determine our future? At first, I was doing pretty good, but there, during them teenage years, I'd have been turned away. And I'm pretty sure all of us would have at some point in our lives. So this next week, and from this point on, I want you to think about this. When you feel that moment that you need to criticize another. When you feel like you need to try to dictate who comes into God's presence. When you try to make the decision as to what ministry and mission the church is reaching out to and doing, remember this. It's only by the grace of God that you're where you're at. And if you feel like criticizing something or someone, I dare you. I double dog dare you. And you know what happens with a double dog dare. To spend some time in that ministry or that mission before you make your judgment. But be careful. First of all, Jesus said, I didn't come to save the healed. I came to save the hurt and the sick and the lame. Scripture also says the way you judge is going to be the way you're judged. So go out and instead of looking at someone and evaluating whether or not they fit in, go out and share Jesus with them. Because once they have Christ here, God takes care of the rest. He doesn't need our help to change them. He'll do the change. That's all I got to say. I got more amens for that than I did everything else. Let's bow in prayer. Almighty and gracious God, sometimes we think that we got this figured out and we need to tell you how to run your business. Father, when those times come along, just remind us how you reminded Peter that you determine that relationship. Father, sometimes we overstep our bounds and we try to be the saving power. Remind us that you don't need our help. Father, sometimes we think we're a little bit better than we are. Remind us that it's only by your grace and your Son's blood that we have the opportunity to be blessed as we are. And Father, when we leave here today, we pray that you give us the opportunity to share your love and your grace and your salvation with somebody. Father, watch over and keep us that we might be the disciples that you want us to be. And that we offer Jesus to everyone we meet. For we pray it all in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.